This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, I don't know if you saw the story that ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, recently conducted what's believed to be the largest workplace raid in 10 years. Agents arrested almost 100 workers at a meatpacking plant in eastern Tennessee, and we sent Jonathan Blitzer, who covers immigration for The New Yorker, to report on how the raid is affecting immigrant families, business, and the wider community.
So the raid itself happened on Thursday morning, April 5th, and it was early. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning. A helicopter began circling above this plant. This plant is the third largest business in Bean Station in Granger County, but it's actually a very small, unassuming place, just a series of sort of a string of dilapidated barns. And all of a sudden, all of these law enforcement agents converged on the place. So you had Tennessee Highway Patrol, you had IRS agents, you had ICE agents. All of them swarmed this plant because the owner of the plant stood accused of being tens of millions of dollars behind in taxes over an extended period of time. So he owed the IRS just a ton of money. And it turned out that when the IRS further investigated, they learned that he also employed a large number of undocumented laborers, mostly from Mexico and from Guatemala. 97 people were arrested, almost all of them Mexican or Guatemalan, and they were taken to Morristown, to the National Guard Armory, where they were going to be booked and processed. Caused an immediate stir as family members figured out what had happened. Some started to gather outside the National Guard Armory. There was a commotion in the roadway. And one of the people who noticed what was going on, even before he fully understood what had happened, was David Williams, the pastor of the Hillcrest Baptist Church in town.
So all day on Thursday, April the 5th, I'm going up and down State Highway 11E, and I see this large Tennessee State Patrol presence there, and I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? Are they having a funeral, or what's the deal? It's right next to the school where my wife teaches fourth grade, and we live a mile from there. So it literally impacted my wife and I directly and very emotionally. And so by 5 o'clock that afternoon, the wives, the family members, the children, the nephews and nieces, they were gathering across the state highway out in the open, wondering, you know, what's happened? Where's my loved one? What's going to happen?
The Southeastern Provision Meat Processing Plant is in Bean Station, Tennessee. This is eastern Tennessee, small rural area, tiny population. But really, the community that was most affected by this raid lived in a town about 10 miles south, a town called Morristown, in a county that's called Hamblin County. 11.5% of the population in Hamblin County is Hispanic, which is more than twice what the average is throughout the rest of the state of Tennessee. There were 160 kids, all U.S. citizens who had grown up in town, who'd had a parent who'd been arrested in the raid itself. And one person said to me, look, someone's father is someone else's uncle and a third person's brother. If you tallied up all of the lives affected by the raid, it amounted to much more than 97.
And then, of course, the next day, most of the Hispanic population did not allow their children to attend public school. And that happened in my wife's school, too. The children and the families were afraid to come to school the next day because they're like, you know, are we going to be deported also? And so you could really see the emotional impact upon the families, and it was just very disturbing.
I arrived in Morristown a few weeks after the raid, and even then, there was still a palpable sense of crisis. The population in Hamblin County is about 30,000 people. It's a small, close-knit community, conservative, religious. In 2016, 77% of the county voted for Donald Trump. So definitely a conservative place, and on paper a place that would seem maybe inhospitable to immigrants. But actually the reality on the ground is somewhat different. One of the first things I was told when I arrived in town was that local residents had helped raise $60,000 for the families who had been affected by the raid. They were proud of this fact. One person I spoke to was Hank Smith, someone who's always voted Republican, considers himself a supporter of Donald Trump. And he said to me that this was the first time he'd really actually grappled with the human impact of what immigration enforcement in the new era meant. And it led him to reconsider some of the positions he had held before. I met him through David Williams, his pastor. And Pastor Williams said a similar thing to me about other parishioners of his who he said were engaging in different forms of soul-searching themselves. How did you begin discussing this with your own parishioners at church? Did this come up? Did people ask you about it? Did you feel the need to bring it up with them?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as a community leader, you know, an old-timer once said, you know, preach every Sunday with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And so, you know, if you're going to be relevant and practical in your ministry, you can't have your head in the sand. And, I mean, this was obviously the talk of the town, the community, made national news.
And you said to me, and this is something that really, really moved and impacted me when you first told me, you said this is about being a good Christian, about treating your neighbors in a certain kind of way.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that struck me as a different way of talking about this issue because, you know, you talk about this politically and immediately you get into a certain kind of pitched battle. But you said to me, you know, look, there's a sort of biblical imperative here to thinking compassionately about immigrants living in our community.
Well, wow. Let's just be honest. To some degree, unless you're a Native American Indian, we're all immigrants. And the basic Christian teaching is to love God with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that's Matthew 23. And Jesus commanded us to love our neighbors, and he never got into any details about the status of their citizenship. And if you go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 10, God is very specific to the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, to look after the widows, the orphans, and the foreigner. Why? Because the Jews were foreigners in captivity for 400 plus years in Egypt. So we have as a true believer in Christ, we have a moral obligation and a commandment to look after the widows and orphans and foreigners and those who have been kind of cast aside by culture and society.
In the aftermath of this raid, as you said, this became kind of the talk of the town, this raid, questions about how to enforce immigration laws, things like that, the fact that community members were affected. Did you have any particularly tough or dramatic or memorable conversations with individual parishioners who were wrestling with some of the moral and legal issues at play here?
Well, I'm going to answer that and say yes. And there were the two extremes and the middle. And what I mean is I heard from parishioners and from folks that basically did not budge. These illegal immigrants, they should be rounded up and sent home. And the other extreme was, no, we've got to step up and love on these people.
Did you gain or lose any parishioners as a result of your outspokenness on this issue? Because I know this inflames passions.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
No, not yet. Not directly. I think the bottom line is the people to the far left, the far right, I don't know that they were moved much, but I think and I hope and I pray that those of us in the middle, we began to rethink this.
And have you felt that views on immigration more generally have shifted a bit in recent weeks in Morristown as a result of some of the stuff you're discussing?
Well, I'm going to say it's definitely shaken things up. I think it's brought it back to the forefront. It is making people think. And I think people have to understand, and I think this media woke us up to the fact, these are our neighbors. These families have been here for 10, 15, 20 years, and that they're raising their families here. They work here. They go to school here. They play ball here. They go to church. They're part of the fiber of our community. It's very unnerving to see such a state and federal law enforcement in your community, at your public elementary school, the street that you live on, it was unnerving. It was disturbing. And again, my prayers are for those law enforcement people too, because they were just doing their jobs and what they were asked to do. It's a difficult, sensitive issue.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Needs a lot of attention.
That's David Williams, pastor of Hillcrest Baptist Church in Morristown, Tennessee. He spoke with staff writer Jonathan Blitzer, and you can find Jonathan's reporting from Morristown, his coverage of the fight over DACA, and many other immigration issues at NewYorker.com.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.